a woman of great excellence in all she does and in all she is. And she's really felt over these last weeks that God has really brought something that she's been on about for a while. And it's God's brought it back to her as a now moment, which I just love. These now moments where we get given something or we get a revelation, but as we sit on it and as we wait on it, as we let it lie fallow, it produces good soil. Yep. So, Marion.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just got a big pile of books that I've been reading. So, I will try and keep myself in. I've got to find. Where's my message? Is that it? No, that's not it. Got too much going on in this book. Anywho, oh, and there's a pen stuck in there. Right. And I've got my shopping bag, and I'm all good to go. So, So I have been on a bit of a journey. So I'll explain some of it. So, as a mum, you don't get to read books very often. So in my 20s, I used to plough through novels, and you know, come home from work and be able to read till my heart's content. You know, read. Well past the time I should have been reading, and not with those books that you just can't put down. And then I had kids, and that kind of had to stop because, well, they take up all your time that you had for reading. So it wasn't until a few years into it that I hit a snag in life, and this book became really important to me. So I thought we'll start with this book. So this book is called The Bible, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. So this book became my rock. And in that time, I was given, at that period of my life in my early 30s, I was given a little sheet of thing, paper that had, it was like a Constantina folder thing with the scriptures on it. And I think Beth has re-merged it, and there Chris has got it, so we can print them off. And that saved my life. That just held me together through the muck. So that led to that and a love for this. And it just, the life that just started bubbling up in this. This stuff gives you, when you read this book, it gives you authority. It gives you, it does. It gives you just like, it's powerful. It doesn't just enter your head, it enters your spirit. And it's super, super powerful, and it transforms you, and it makes you into the God purpose person that you have always meant to be. And so I encourage young people to not muck around like I did, but to love it now, not when you're in your 30s. So I used to love, you know, like I've always been worship, prayer, but not so much the word, but then this has taken over. So then I, a few years down the track after muckiness, I started doing some reading of like Bible studies and things. This one took me to a whole nother level, through another mucky period of life. and this really dealt with some spiritual heart issues that was pretty, you know, like what Julia was saying about from your childhood and your growing up years, and just stuff that never had been quite dealt with. And so that also has led me to this place on this journey of well-being, also very powerful and life-changing. And then in the last 6 months, maybe January, I think I brought this book, which is, so this is spiritual, this is practical, natural nature, you know, human. It's just, anyone can buy this from Wickles. And this is more on a level of physical, so your body and your health. And it all, you know, we know that we are a body, a soul, and a spirit. And it all is required. It's all required. So I've got my spirit, my soul, and my body. So, tick, tick, tick. So, anyway, I'm going to start with Psalm 23. Now, I kind of think of Psalm 23 as a psalm that is like the perfect union with God. It's almost too good to be true. And my grandfather used to be an organist in his church, and he used to play the Psalm 23 on the organ. And then my mother loved it. It was her ultimate favourite psalm. And she had it at her wedding. She probably had it at her christening, and she definitely had it at her funeral. So she had actually a video of my grandfather playing it at her funeral. And then when I became a Christian, I remember literally I was probably standing about here. The stage was over there, and I was getting prayed for the first time by someone, and the word they got for me was Psalm 23. And dear, oh dear, that's kind of stuck with me. So now we all know the psalm. And is the psalm up there? So we can all see the psalm. We know the psalm. So I probably don't need to read the psalm. So what I want to do is get, so breaking down the verses, you know, so the verse 1 to 3 is where the heart and mind is made whole. Verse 4, so when we go through trials of deepest, darkest kind, we can stand in his comfort and protection. Verse 5, healing. He leads us into his presence, we're in awe of him, and our cup overflows. Verse 6, we are walking in complete faith, trust in God, and we will always be found in him. The perfect union, even though life is messy, he is in it, and he creates that perfect union. Now, I want Alistair to come up and just share a little bit of his journey of, trusting God in that union.
Morning, everybody. So Marion's roped me in to come and say a few words. And I suppose I can relate a lot to what Marion's talking about, because I went on my own journey. And I think a lot of us have been on our own journeys over our lifetime. Some have had different struggles or different journeys that they've gone through. Some may have been able to speak about it with others. Some may have personally had to deal with it themselves and kept it in themselves. And so I just want to talk a little bit about myself. I suppose when I got into my adult life, I was straight into a period of living in stress. So being in stressful moments, I started, one great thing is I Mary and I ran youth group. It was great. It created stress though. I started working for a guy who we were doing engineering, working in the dairy industry. We were working late nights. That created a lot of stress. Just life just sort of seemed to just keep on piling on more and more stress. And I think a lot of people can relate. When stress just keeps piling on, you sort of get to this point where you can't go anymore. You just, all of a sudden, it just crashes down, and you just think, my goodness, I've had enough. And, it may manifest in panic attacks or depression or just that whole feeling of I've had enough. I basically want to, you know, spend time in bed and stay there. So I got to that point where I had to start finding a way out of this. And so mine, as I said, manifests more in the whole the stress and worry and anxiety and things like that. And so what I did, as Marion was saying, with the Word, I started looking in the Word. I started looking up verses about God. What have you said? You promised me. What are the promises that you've actually given and said and promised for my life? And I started finding great verses like in Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amazing verse, isn't it? Psalm 121:1-8. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. At your right hand, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amazing verses, you know. And so I kept on taking all that in and filling myself up. And this just kept on building up and building up my strength. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't that amazing? So I got through that period. I developed all these skills and things to be able to go to give me strength. A foundation, somewhere to plant my foot and for it to be a firm foundation to stand on. And that's what we need in our lives. We can't just be living in the mire all our life. We've actually got to make a decision on what we're going to do. Are we going to keep living in this mire, or are we going to go and stand on firm foundation? And that's, as for me, that's what I went and did. And, you know, life just brings tribulation. It happens. There's a verse that talks about that. And, but you know what? You know, here's an example. In the course of 6 months, both Mary and I lost our mothers. And we lost our matriarch, which is my grandmother in our family. You know, and we could have absolutely been destroyed over that. But we had hope. We had a firm foundation to put our feet on. You know, an anchor. Hope is the anchor for my soul, sure and steadfast. You know, and so this is what we need to do as Christians, as believers, is that we need to have a hope. So we're going through what we're going through now with all this COVID and whatnot, and we have to have a hope that God is in control. We can't look to the left, we can't look to the right. We need to have him as the pillar of everything. Sure and steadfast. Trust in the Lord God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Very good. That's just awesome. Can you just stay here for a second? I want to pray for people who are in business, people who are in leadership, people who are elders, people who are managers in business or their workplace. If you are any of those people, please stand up. I just quickly want to pray in this time. So, yeah. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, trustees, yeah. If you are in decision-making positions and such. Right, God, we just thank you so much for all who are standing at this time. God, we just pray that you would just bring, wisdom into their hearts, into their minds, God, to navigate these days. God, I just pray a blessing on each one of them, that you would give them, insight and heavenly secrets would just be dropped into their heart to be able to respond correctly, to be able to speak the right words, to be able to make the right decisions for everyday life in this season. And I just bless them in Jesus' name, God, that you would just go with them and cover them, protect them and their families, and God, that they would prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Just had to do that. Right. So when I went through my dark time was when my mum got sick. And mums are pretty important. They're actually, we hear, oh, your mum died. Oh, yes, that's sad. That's boo-hoo. I'm sorry about that. But it's actually for a child to lose, even a grown-up child, to lose their mum is actually quite big. It's a big deal because you have got not just a physical bond, you actually have a spiritual bond connected to that person. You grew in them, you had a physical umbilical cord and a spiritual umbilical cord. And I felt like it had been severed when Mum died. And it was just the most awful feeling. But yet, in it, God was so good. And he was with me, like it says in Psalm 23. 2 weeks before she had her aneurysm, I was part of a breakfast club that Beth was running, and we were looking at the Psalm 23. And we all got it broken up, and we all had a verse each. And so I turn up, and I get handed verse 4. So they'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff comfort me, and you're with me. So that was the one I got. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. 2 weeks later, it all made sense. It just felt like God was giving me a warning. And he was just in all of that. So, I better look at my notes. But, yeah, so that's kind of where I was at. And anxiety, stress, all of that was kind of eating me up at the time. I was a young mum. I didn't have extra support, really, at that time. It was very trying, and it really stretched me as a person. The scriptures is where I started to cling to life, and that kind of brought me into a place where I was out of the darkness, and some sunrise started to appear. But when you're coming out of a sort of a grief period, you have these traces of trauma that's residue from your experience. And I quickly, through the years following, had like all sorts of wrong thinking, all sorts of bitterness, all sorts of things that I had never really dealt with. And it wasn't until other hard experiences happened that I had to actually face what was going on, and little did I know really where to start. And this book then took me into that place of restoration of my heart, and a healing place for me. I saw the soil of my heart. I'm going to start talking about gardening and dirt and all sorts in a minute. And In Hebrews 6 in the Passion Translation, it talks a little bit about the hearts of men's hearts are just like soil, and it's like I see that it's just so true, and that it needs nourishing just like soil does to make things grow, and to grow well. And so we've got the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, and I should probably get that out, eh? And it talks a bit about the different qualities of soil that the seeds are trying to land on. The seed is insights of the kingdom of heaven. It's things that God is wanting to sow into the hearts of people. So the farmer went out to sow some seeds. So he's still at chapter 8, still other seeds fell on good soil. Because you know that I'm not going to talk about all the soils, but we're going to talk about the good soil. Okay, so it fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And then in verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears this message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes away and snatches away what was sown in the heart. And so in the verse 23, it's that the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. So I'm just going to talk about, there's just the different conditions of our heart, and that our hearts and our minds are super important to God. It's a game changer for how he connects with us and talks with us. So he needs to be able to nourish us with his kingdom seeds and plant them in. But we need to make sure that our garden is in a good condition for it to land on. And if it's not, it can get messy. And all sorts of mess can happen. I'm just going to talk a bit about soil. So the condition of soil is really important. From soil, health and energy are born. The soil contains nutrients and minerals which we need to live, such as calcium and magnesium. We need plants to be able to be the middleman between us and the soil. The plants absorb the nutrients out of the soil and make the nutrients available to us as food. Despite all of the accomplishments in the world, we owe our existence to 30 centimetre layer of topsoil. Might be a bit deeper in Taranaki. We're a bit more fertile here. And the fact that it rains, which we also have a lot of in Taranaki. However, if the soil is deficient in nutrients, then those nutrients are not in the food. So the quality of the soil, where our food is grown, plays an enormous role in how we feel, function and look each day. Soil can become depleted through over-farming and not replenishing the soil with compost, through herbicides, pesticides, insecticides sprayed on our veggies and fruit. Organic growers use lots of natural compost to feed and nourish their soils. And this can actually make it quite rich, which bugs apparently don't like a really rich, nutrient-dense food or plants to eat on. So I thought that was quite interesting. So it's like a protection. Right. Compost. Yes, compost. Let's get dirty. Stinky. So compost, you know, is like with scraps. It's the leftovers. It's the messy, stinky stuff. And then it's put into a big heap. It gets really hot. It gets really hot, something like 60 degrees. Hot, so pretty hot, hotter than my tap water. And then it breaks down. And then in that process, the nutrients are then put into how the microorganisms work. And then that gets put back into the soil. And then it just nourishes the soil, which then the plants then can dig their roots down into, and they then suck it all up. So the soil conditions are super important for our physical health. So on this sort of level of wellness for our physical body, we need to be eating food that is ideally organic, but that's not always possible, but as nutrient dense as possible for our health and well-being. The other interesting thing with organic growers, they kind of try to grow their stuff in, like, so they sow their seeds in the soil in a mass of it, and that stops the weeds from getting in. And when I read that, I thought, oh gosh, that just sounds like the church and how we should be sown closely together so that it can stop weeds and things getting in that should not be in the mix. And I just thought that was just such a cool picture. And how interesting how soil reflects our heart, you know, and we can apply it to our life. So what I want to do is just ask a few questions. You can yell them out. What are some of the ways that you've learnt to nourish the soil of your heart? I've got a list here, but so if no one has answers. Prayer, yep. Yep, got that on my list, yep. Read the Bible, got that on my list. Got that on my list, yes. Surfing. I have that on my list. And I don't surf. I was thinking of you, Richard. There's so many ways. Exercise, walking, running, sport, surfing, cooking, being creative, being with friends, family, resting, meditation, gratitude, what we heard yesterday with the woman's afternoon tea, prayer, worship. Oh, love worship. yeah, there's just so many ways. Oh, serving others even. I found when our mum's passed away, serving my children really helped me. It actually took my mind off myself and what I was going through, and it helped me actually redirect my energy into something good. Generosity. Actually, I think I have that on there. I think that's a good one. Very good. Yeah. So, anyway, last year I was just locked down last year. So we were doing those little devotions each day on Facebook. And just, you know, you've got a bit of time in lockdown. And I started going through some things, and I had read it around about that time. And Matthew 11. Here it is. So try the yellow sticker everything. So Matthew 11. I just haven't highlighted it. That's okay. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I really like the Message version of it. It talks about walking with Jesus, learning from him, working with him, watching him and how he does things, learning the unforced rhythms of grace. And he says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. Company, and I will learn. You'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's pretty big, especially if you're going through some hard stuff or stress, like might be raised up a little bit, or there's a lot going on with your workplace or family. We are able to experience God the Father through Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And just quickly, before I might mention this somewhere else, but that scripture. Oh, so in the scriptures, the verses just before that, Jesus is describing his relationship with God, with his Father, and how close and intimate they are. And I just thought that that's so interesting that that is just before it, and then he starts to talk about, let's do life together, let's be close and intimate, just like I am with my Father. And I just think that just really is cool. So we can grab hold because we can have access to the Father now. We can grab hold of heaven's seeds that he wants to sow in us. We can get hold of his truths through abiding in him. So John 15:5-8, it's back here. Did I mark that? Might not have marked that one. Oops. Do you want to play with that? Right. So this is where Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Okay, so I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You can't bear fruit, good fruit, which is evidence of your faith, without being connected to a healthy life source. Abiding. Abiding means is to stay in one place. Steadfast, long-suffering, stay through the struggle. I think that's the exact translation or interpretation of abiding. stay through the struggle. The longer you stay, the better the root system and the better the fruit. Apparently, with the grapes, if they are under pressure and stress, they produce less fruit, but better quality fruit, better quality wine. So, interesting how nature, God uses all of that with the spirit in our hearts and all of that stuff. So the seeds that come from the fruit. So can I get a volunteer to cut open, got a chopping board and a lemon from my very fruitful lemon tree and a knife, to cut that open and check out how many seeds are inside that. Yeah, you could probably do it real quick. So we just want to count the seeds. So if anyone wants to come and pop over here and cut up some of that, and we want to find out how many seeds are in there. Seeds that come from fruit can be then planted in good soil. So it's kind of like this whole, like back to Matthew, nine. So, but the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who will produce a crop, yielding at 160 or 30 times what it was sown. So then that fruit will then multiply. And it will multiply. And it will multiply. So this is what happens when we have good soil. When we have our hearts, the condition of our hearts, nurtured and nourished by abiding in a relationship with Jesus. Through the challenges of life that we face, big, medium, small. Two. Really? Oh, wow. That's, yeah, I've got other lemons here. Okay, so that was from a tree that produces the fat, fat lemons with a big rind. This one there is from the other. 100 times two. That's right. This is right. The seed, yeah. Yes, I've done a bit of research about those seedless things to find out if they're actually very nutritious, and they're okay, but they apparently throw a net over it so the bees don't get to it too, and that keeps them being seedless. So through the challenges of life, that we stay abiding with Jesus. So Psalm 23, it's like the cycle of life, isn't it, Psalm 23? It's often on headstones and quoted at funerals, but it's because it's the cycle of life. And we'll go through Psalm 23 a number of times in our lifetime, I'm thinking. So the verse 1 to 3, times of refreshing, provision, rest, abiding, restoration, right living, fruitfulness. 4, times of deep darkness, hardship, sickness, death. But he is still abiding. He's staying in the struggle. 5, times of nourishing our hearts and minds as we abide in him. Healing in his presence of the Holy Spirit. Then overflowing with his goodness, joy, love, faithfulness and peace. 6, complete trust and faith is established despite of the messy dark places of life. Hope is restored as we abide with Jesus and knowing that nothing can separate us ever, ever. And I just thought about this whole faith and trust in God, and it's like with well-being and our thoughts and our hearts and our mind and all of that, you know, you think of Ephesians 6 with the armor of God, and I had this in the middle of the night. I woke up with this image of my son when he was 9. And he used to make these awesome shields, like, they were cool. And he was so into Nerf guns, like, hardcore. Like, there was war. I think we had a Nerf war for his birthday that year. And so basically, I had this image of, like, those darts coming. And, like, the cool thing about faith is that it's a shield, whereas that the other parts of the armor are actually sort of fixed, whereas the shield can move to protect your heart or your head, your mind. It's got this amazing ability to move around your body to protect the various parts. So just think of that in Ephesians 6. So wasn't the worship good this morning? It was just so sweet and tender and wonderful. I loved that song, Where Can I Go Without Your Spirit? This is exactly this. Where can I go? How can I be without your spirit? We're hearing at the moment we're in this season of harvest, or coming into a season of harvest, but I always believe that it always starts in our own heart. So get your soil nourished. Get your soil prepared. Let those seeds start to be planted that heaven has for you as individuals, and let God just be let loose in your nourished soil of your heart and your mind. Cool. Right, I'm going to just pray, and if anyone wants prayer as well, just stand or whatever. And we just bless this time together, God. We just thank you, God, that you are always with us in every aspect of life. And we thank you for Psalm 23. We thank you for the words that it speaks to us, and the hope that it fills us with. And God, that our cups would be overflowing, that God, our faith and our trust in you would just be so contagious, and others that are watching would just want what we've got. And I just thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
How many seeds were there? Zero. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm just very, very aware that we've got people coming in. However, there's some hot drinks at the back there. You're most welcome to have those. And once